Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
All right, we are going to open the Bible together today. I want to ask you to turn to John chapter 2. I want to encourage you, do yourself a favor. If you haven't got a Bible, get one. If you don't have a Bible that you read that's not on a device, can I encourage you to get one? Because there's nothing like the physical, tangible Word of God in your hand. I just got myself a new one recently. It's still got the gold pager feel to it. But every now and again, I go through this journey, and it's really hard. I'll put it to you like this. When I start with a new Bible, I find it really difficult, because in my old Bible, I used to know where everything was. Every page, every underlined verse, and where it sat in the pages. I could visibly see it. And so I knew what I was looking for. And when I go to a new Bible, I feel a bit naked. I feel a bit like, oh, it's a bit vulnerable. So you have to bear with me today, because we've got the Bible. And she's got a little bit of underlining, but not too much. But if you had to see my other Bible, it's fallen apart. It's highlighted. It's written over. Sometimes I had to really hold it really close to read it over the top of what I'd written, over the underline and the highlights and all the circles and the, you know, moments that I'd had. And, you know, you can't do that in an iPad. It's not the same. You don't get the feel of the pages. You don't get the feel of it. Let me encourage you. Get the Word of God into you in your everyday life. It's a game changer. And so today I want to read to you from John chapter 2. John is a gospel that has been written by a man named John. And it's a good place for you to understand if you don't know what the Bible is. Because I'm assuming and hoping and believing there's people in here that maybe don't have a clue. But I'm telling you right now, there is nothing like the Bible. It is a book that is unchanging. It is a book that forever changes us. And it is a book that continues to bring revelation, even though you've read it over and over and over again. There's always something new that God wants to reveal. And so today, let me take you to a passage that the Lord has revealed something new and fresh to me. John chapter 2, verses 1 through to 12. It says this: on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Everybody loves a wedding. Everyone loves a party. Amen. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. And they ran out of wine. It's a bad day when you run out of wine at a wedding. At any form of party, when the drinks go dry. Ever been there? The mother of Jesus said to them, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern of that is that with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were a set of 6 water pot stones, according to the manner of purification, apiece, gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master at the feast had tasted the water that was made from wine, he didn't know where it had come from, but his servants did, because they'd been the one who drawn the water. And the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, the inferior. But you have kept the good until now. This is the beginning of the signs that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days," meaning they stayed there a long time. Let me just highlight something to you. Firstly, there are a number of messages we could take out of this passage that I don't have the time to do justice to today. But what I do want to bring our attention to is this: that Jesus in this conversation in verse 4, when he says, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." There is a distinction that needs to be made for us to understand this passage today. He's not like, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" What his distinction is in this is that he is no longer calling her mother. He is calling her a woman. That is a very clear distinction of Jesus stepping out of just being the son of Mary into being the son of God. He was always the son of God, but he was about to step into his ministry. And Mary was actually calling forth his destiny, calling forth that which was in him. And so when she says in verse 5 to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it," it's a significant thing. Whatever he says to you, do it. Now, I want to suggest to you that everybody at this party knew, the servants, in the background, they knew that the wine had run dry. And when Mary says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it, it brought one thing to the forefront. Jesus is here. He is the center of it all. Do whatever he says to you. Now, I want to suggest to you that if I came to you and said to you, Steve, we've run out of soft drink and we need a few drinks. Can you organize something for the after party after church? All right. You're not thinking in your mind, I need to go get some water and bring it in. But Jesus says to the servants, take the jars, which there's a whole other message in that, but take the jars and go and fill them with water. The servants are like, we're missing wine, not water. But because of Mary's words, do whatever he tells you, they are Jesus conscious. They are conscious of Jesus being in the room, and whatever he says, do it. And so literally what we see take place here is that the servants go out and they grab the gallons, the containers and jars of water, and they fill them with water. Not half-heartedly, oh, Lord, let's just go get some water, see what we can do. Grab some water, bring it back with a little bit of room so you can put a bit of plonk in there, mix it up and have a watered-down wine. No, they bring back the jars with expectation filled to the brim. So their first step was the step of obedience. Do whatever he tells you to do. Secondly, it's followed with this expectation that when they go and get the jars, they bring them back filled to the brim. It's this beautiful depiction of expectation. Jesus is in the room. He said, do whatever he says. They take it, they fill it with water, they fill it to the brim, and they bring it back to him. And then the moment comes where Jesus says to them in verse 8, draw some out now and take it to the master of feasts. You have the privilege of sitting on the other side of this passage of scripture. Just put yourself there in that moment. Do whatever he says. Yep, get jars of water. Okay. Get jars of water, bring them back, fill them to the brim. We're ready. We're full of expectation. And then he says, take a cup, scoop some out, and now go take it to the master of feasts. Can you see how in the natural mind that makes no sense? I know what we just put in here. There's water in here. And we're about to take this to the master of the feasts. Like, come on, Nate. You're sitting here, yeah, because you know the end of the story. But think about this in your life. When Jesus says to you, go do, and you do. And then he says, do this, and it makes no sense. As they scoop some off from the barrel, they take it to the master of the feast. He stops the party. Because what they saw, they knew was water. He stops the party because what he's receiving is of a new wine. It is a wine that is better. It is a wine that is greater than the previous wine. And he's like, whoa. This I have not tasted. This I have not seen. This is better than that which came. And the servants, it says in there that the servants knew that what they had filled it with was water, but what he was drinking was wine. Don't ask me when the water turned to wine, whether it was in the jar on the way there as it hit his mouth. I don't know, but I do know this, that God is always looking to take something from good to great. The whole context of this passage of scripture is actually an observation or a prophetic statement or an action about what was to actually come. See, Jesus knew in and of himself that he was the new covenant going to be poured out for mankind. And what this is a depiction of the old covenant versus the new covenant. That water was a depiction of the old covenant and wine was a depiction of the new. Wine was after the water and the new covenant was after the old. Wine was from the water and the new covenant was from the old. The wine was better than water, and the new covenant was better than the old. Let me put it to you like this. Genesis chapter 3 tells the story of where Adam and Eve have sinned, and God is looking for them as he's walking through the garden because he would spend time with them in the cool of the evening, walking and talking. And he goes to the garden and finds Adam hiding. He doesn't ask the question, Adam, Adam, where are you? Because he lost Adam. He asks Adam the question so that Adam would realize, I am separated from God because I ate of the tree. And we call that sin. What is sin? Sin is what I did. It's disobedience. It's independence. It's disbelief. And it separated Adam from God. And God wanted Adam to realize, Adam, do you know where you are? Because I'm where I used to be, but you are now separated from me. Adam comes out in a childlike fashion. I imagine him, as it said, that he's covered himself with leaves. And so, you know, you get the little man and woman that walk out and they're covered with leaves. And God says to them, you are hiding in shame and condemnation and guilt, and therefore I need to cover you. And he takes that which they tried to do, which they tried to fix in and of themselves in covering themselves. And it says that he took a lambskin and he covered them. Lamb skin means a lamb had to die, and so therefore there was an institution of a lamb that would be set up for the sacrifice of sin to cover sin. And so it sets up this institution throughout the Old Testament of a lamb that would be brought for sacrifice, and that their sins would then be cleansed, would be washed away as such through this lamb. But then John chapter 1, verse 29, just previous to this passage, it says that John the Baptist sees Jesus coming and says, here comes the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Jesus didn't come just to cover sin like the old covenant. He came in the new covenant to take away sin. And so this is a depiction. It is a prophetic picture of that which God has done and is doing. And you know what the beautiful thing about this is? The verse 11 actually indicates that Jesus manifested his glory before the disciples. You thought the water into wine was good, but this moment manifested the glory of God. Let me unpack to you what that means. The glory of God had not been seen in the temple for over 400 years. Why? Because man's sin, man's idolization, man's profane worship had so displeased the heart of God that he removed his presence, his glory from the temple, from the tabernacle, and took it from there and literally said, I'm not going to bring it until I bring the fullness of the promise that I have, the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. And unfortunately, too many of us today walk around trying to live under the old covenant of covering our sin. And yet Jesus came to take it away, past, present, and future. Meaning that any time that we sin, it's not a matter of trying to cover it up. It is a matter of bringing it before God and exposing it and saying, God, cleanse me, forgive me. And as he does, we walk in this newness of this new covenant. We need to understand that this picture of water into wine is important. It's significant. And it's significant for these reasons, because God wants to take things from good to great. But he can only do that when you and I are consciously aware of his presence. See, the beautiful thing about today's service, and even through our prayer service before the service started, we were very aware of his presence. Some of us, even today in this service, were preoccupied with some of the things that maybe disappointments, or as Pastor Steve was saying, there were things that were like we were focused on that we couldn't sing, that God, you are the way maker, you are the promise keeper, you are the one who will make a way in the dark. Like, we couldn't sing those things because we could only see the things that were in front of us. But as we became consciously aware and we went back into the song and we put aside the things that we see and we see him, all of a sudden we become more aware of his presence. And it's a beautiful thing to be aware of his presence. But can I suggest to you that God actually wants to call us to be people who are consciously aware of his presence outside of the four walls of the church? See, the problem we have is that we are so self-conscious that we actually miss what Jesus wants to do. Let me put it to you like this. What miracles are we missing out on in the here and now because we're not presence conscious? Because if those servants had have looked at it and just said, that's just Mary's kid. That's just a nice guy. If they had have put aside who Jesus was and were not presence conscious, not aware that the glory of God was being made manifest in their presence, they would have missed the miracle of water into wine. Why? Because they wouldn't have listened to what he had to say because they weren't aware of his presence. They would have missed that moment if they hadn't have gone with faith and expectation to fill the water barrels with water to the brim and bring it before Jesus and then actually take a massive step of scooping up water in their mind and taking it to the master of the feast. It's in that moment that the miracle is unlocked. But why? Because they were presence conscious. They were aware that Jesus was in their presence. Why? Because Mary said to them, do whatever he tells you to. Do whatever he tells you to. What miracles are you and I missing out on because we are so self-conscious, so self-aware, so self-absorbed, so consumed with what's going on in our lives that we actually miss being presence conscious in our everyday life where God could turn up and do a miracle? Can I suggest to you today the reason we don't see as many miracles as what we see depicted in the scriptures and depicted through men and women of God through the past of significant miracles is because we're not actually presence conscious. We do presence conscious when we come to church. I'm aware of his presence. It's awesome. And I hear from God people hear from God for others and beautiful things happen. But when I go out into the world, we leave Jesus in the church. We leave Jesus behind and we miss the miracles in the here and now because we're more self-conscious or self-aware of, it's just water. Just go and fill the thing, and we minimize the very possibilities of God turning up and doing something incredible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says that you and I are now the temple of God. The Spirit of God now dwells in us. And so this glory that was manifested in verse 11 now lives in you and I. We don't need to wait to get to a service or a building or a temple to experience and be presence conscious. We actually need just to stop and go, God, I thank you that you're present. Oh, Lord, make me aware of your presence in the here and now and the every day. Church, can I tell you, he wants to do the supernatural in your every day. And what's required is that we would be a presence conscious people. You don't need to be an evangelist. You don't need to be the gifted chosen frozen. You don't need to be the special elite tactics team for that space. You just need to be an everyday believer who lives before him and says, God, I want to be presence conscious. Help me to see you today. Help me to hear you today. Help me to walk in obedience to you today. And help me not to minimize the things that seem stupid in the natural, but are actually where God wants to do the super on those natural things. Because we minimize it. It's like Lord says, go that way. Oh, that's not the Lord. Surely that's not the Lord. Or you have, not even like, some of you think like audibly. I'm like, no. The thoughts that drop into your mind, go this way, go that way. They're the breadcrumbs of the Holy Spirit. They're the things that he's leading us into. And the Bible says if we would live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and keep in step with him, it's there where the miraculous begins to happen. Because that's what Mary was saying to the people. Do whatever he tells you to. Oh, people, I cannot express the heart of God for us to live consciously aware of His presence in the everyday. In the everyday. Often what gets in the way is because we're so self-conscious. We're so self-indulgent. We're so self-centered and we're selfish in our everyday life that we live according to our time, our schedule, our purpose, our plan, our things. In actual fact, that Jesus has a dream that He wants to invite us into being a part of. He didn't say, go make a holy huddle and sit in a church and hunder shunder every week. Make yourselves feel good and then go out and do what you want. He said, go make disciples. And that happens as we become presence aware. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians together. Chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is an amazing passage of scripture that talks about the Spirit of God not being driven by the letter of the law, but by the Spirit, and that we have been made ministers of a new covenant, that which is depicted in John chapter 2. He has made us ministers of this new covenant. Woo, here we go. We'll start with verse 8. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of the righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel would not look steadily at it at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil that remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we, with all unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. You and I are ministers of this new covenant from glory to glory. I want to suggest to you today, it's from wine to water. It's from good to great. It's from great to better. That which He wants to do through you and I. So what's required of us? Well, verse 5, do whatever He says to you. Just like Mary said, do whatever He says to you. If we would live with the sensitivity of personal ownership of listening and hearing the voice of God, I believe we would see more miracles. I believe that we would see more salvations. I believe that we would see a revival sweep across the earth, not just reviving people in the church, but affecting the people outside of the church. Well, the second thing is this, fill the water pots. God is looking for your obedience in the here and now and the everyday things. It's a command to be obeyed, not a question. It's not to be questioned. It's not to be ignored. It is to live sensitive to His Spirit. And sometimes you're going to have to do things even when it doesn't make sense, like they did. The third thing is to fill it to the brim. Come with expectation. Don't do something half-heartedly, but do it with the full expectation that God is who He says He is and He will do what He says He will do. And then fourthly, draw some out. Draw some out by faith, trusting that the Lord will actually do the work. Take it to the people who need it. The people need to experience it. And God is looking to do a new thing. He is looking to do more miracles. He's looking to step out of the box that people have put Him into, reviving people and reviving lives, transforming communities and cities, and reviving nations. I said before that the glory of God disappeared for 400 years because of Israel's disobedience. What could obedience unlock in our lives? Supernatural in the everyday. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if we turn over, just one page, verses 18 through to 21 says this. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against us, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Church, we are not a church with a mission department or an evangelism department. We are a church on mission. And that means we need to live consciously aware of his presence. We need to live in obedience to his voice. We need to live with an expectation that he will take whatever he has told us to do and do something phenomenal with it. And in the faith we have in the going, that he will turn up and take the good in your life and turn it into something great, the good in someone else's life and turn it into something great, that all praise and honor and glory could be given to him. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly reminded in my life of the moments where I'm busy. I'm on mission. I've got my thing to do. I've got my place to go. I've got my meetings to be a part of. I've got this and that. And just like you, sometimes I can forget the need to be presence conscious. And sometimes I find myself in the middle of something and the Lord just whispers and I'm like, and then I'm trying to go, how am I going to make that work? Oh, hang on a second. I need to be somewhere, but God wants me. Can I tell you, you'll never fail if you lean into obedience. And you're never reprimanded when you lean in. I can remember having a moment where the Lord, I was on my way to somewhere and the Lord said, I want you to do this. And I was like, Lord, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I was like, but because you said, I'll go. So I made changes and I made rearrangements and I shifted a few things around and I stepped into what God wanted in that moment. And all I can say to you is sometimes we can miss those moments because we're self-conscious or because we have other things to do that feed into the self-centeredness of our lives, the destiny we have, the choices we're making, the da-da-da-da-da. But they're the moments where we lean in. That's where I've seen miracles happen. Yeah. That conversation, that moment led for me to a conversation with somebody that I would never have expected taking place. And it was simply a phone call to stop what I was doing, to make this phone call, and to engage in a conversation. And that conversation then led to a moment where God could do a great and mighty work in that person's life. And sometimes I sit back and go, God, I thank you that you're so good to me, that even when I miss it or when I think I've missed it, you are faithful to actually step in and bring those things back around. Can I encourage you, if you've missed it, and we all have, that you actually trust him. He'll bring those moments around. He's a good God and he loves us. But can I ask you in this moment, if you want to be conscious presence, conscious of his presence, or if you want to just be more conscious of his presence, can I just ask that you would stand to your feet? So there's something in the obedience of standing when you have a moment to respond like that. Sometimes it's easy to do these things inside the four walls and of a church, but sometimes it's a little more challenging when we have to do that outside of the church. But I actually honestly believe that your response today is a James 4:8 moment for many of you. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. I actually believe that there are going to be significant shifts in and around your life where you are going to hear the voice of God with a clarity that you haven't had before. And all I can say to you in this moment is just do whatever he tells you to do. Because you're about to step into an awareness of his presence. Some for the first time, some to a greater degree, but it's going to unlock miracles. It's going to unlock salvation moments for other people. It's going to unlock moments where heaven collides with earth for the people in your world, for the people you don't know, for the people in your community, the people that just need to know Jesus. And so right now, I'm going to ask you to picture someone in your life that doesn't know Jesus. Now, for some of you, you're going to have names come to mind. For some of you, you're going to be stretching it because you're like, I don't know, I'm so caught up in the Christian bubble of my world that I really don't have many un-Christian people or unbelievers around me. And I would just say to you, who's your hairdresser? Who serves you at the petrol station? Who serves you at the grocery store that you buy your groceries? And if they're all Christian, then maybe you've done a really good job. But maybe it's time to step out and find a new circle of people who are unbelievers. Because Jesus didn't come just so that we could sit and play church on Sundays and enjoy his presence and worship him, although that is good and is needed and required. He did bring us into this world to know him, but that we would share him with others. And so you need a world around you that doesn't know Jesus. So now some of you have a picture in mind, or you have a name in mind, and some of you are even thinking about how could I broaden out beyond. And this is what I want you to capture in this moment. Verse 12 of John chapter 2 says that Jesus, his mother, his brothers, and the others went on to Capernaum. They went on to another place. They moved out of the place they were in to go to a world that desperately needed Jesus. It's one thing to be consciously aware of him in your presence. Be consciously aware of his presence in your world, but it's another thing to go and take him with you to another place. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you right now that you are here, and I thank you for the awareness of your presence. Oh Lord, we love you, and we are so grateful that you reached into our world and saved us. We're so grateful, Lord, that our understanding and revelation of who you are is because you loved us and you saw forth to bring somebody into our worlds that would take a moment where they would hear your voice and share with us. And as a result, we came to know you. Lord, I thank you for the dreams and visions that have happened in people's worlds that have led to them coming to know you. I thank you, God, for the friends that you brought into their world where they shared the gospel with them and they were saved. I thank you, God, for the families that have been raised through generations that have known you because they have shared with you from one generation to the next. I thank you, Jesus, that your love for us is so great. But Lord God, your word tells us that we should pursue love, that we should pursue you for the sake of others. And so Lord God, we stand together before you to say, God, we want to be more aware of your presence. We want to be consciously aware of what you're doing in the room. We want to have ears to hear, like when Mary said to the people and the servants, do whatever he says. God, we want to hear your voice that says, go here, do this. And so God, I'm asking, Lord, would you give us ears to hear? Would you exchange in us from our self-conscious, selfish, self-centered world, would you call us to be more presence aware, more presence conscious, more presence centered in our everyday lives. That God, that when we go into the petrol station, that God, when we hear your voice to say something, we say it. When we hear, Lord God, your voice to do something, that we do it. And that God, as we do, we would see the miraculous unlocked in the places you have called us to live and be. That Lord Jesus, we would see water to wine moments, the good to great moments where people find healing, find health and wholeness in you, because you simply sent us who were presence conscious into a world that so desperately needed it. That God, we didn't stay in the room and just continue to drink of the good wine, but that we went to the places of Capernaum, and we went to the places of Beaumaris, we went to the places in which we live in Cheltenham and different areas in this region. God, we would be sent out to be a presence-conscious people into the world that so desperately needs you. So Holy Spirit, would you come in this moment? Would you respond to your people as they've stood to say, yeah, I want to be consciously aware of his presence in my everyday life? I ask, Holy Spirit, you'd meet people where they're at and that you would send them to places that you've called them to go. And Lord, I thank you, God, that as you show up over and over again, that there'll be testimonies of your goodness, testimonies of your grace. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you don't call us to do it in our own strength or our own ability. Do you actually call us to just follow your voice? Your word says that you would give us the words to speak. So Lord, would you fill mouths right now with your word as you send them into places where there needs to be breakthrough, where there needs to be good to great moments, where there needs for healing to break out, for prophetic words to break out. Lord God, let the gifts of the Spirit arise in your people as you send them, as they become so presence conscious that they would see the miraculous unfold. So I thank you, Lord, for the testimonies to come, for the salvations that will come as a result. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you are at work in this church and you are stirring hearts to live with a greater awareness of who you are and what you're doing. Holy Spirit, Jesus, give us boldness to go. Give us a confidence as we lean into you, to share with the people in our worlds, and let us step into the supernatural as a result. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life
and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.